Something that, if anything, has increased in popularity over the past 15 months or so is quizzing, with lots of us regularly getting together virtually to try and outsmart our friends. Now, if this is something that you can relate to, then you'll want to check out the latest book, which has just been published by my guest, Ian Yearsley. Ian is an author, originally from Ingatestone, but now living near Southend. And he's written numerous books about or inspired by his love of Essex. Ian, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Before we talk about the Essex quiz book, I'm keen to find out just a little bit about you and what in particular inspires you. Now, your first book, which was about the islands of Essex, that was published way back in 1994, I believe. But I think it was a trip closer to home as a child that first helped ignite your passion.
Yes, hello, Alan. Thank you for inviting me onto the show. Yes, as you said earlier, I was born in Ingatestone. And one of my earliest historical memories is a trip to Ingatestone Hall. My dad knew the caretaker there, Mr. Thurston. And he showed me, my dad and my brother round the hall. It was totally empty. There was just the four of us. I don't think the hall was open to the public at that time. This is about 1970-71. Or it could have been an off day when it was closed. But that experience of the space, it's a Tudor hall. It's had a lot of atmosphere. The dark wood and everything was fantastic. But what particularly struck me was looking at what are called priest holes, which is where priests would hide during Catholic persecution at this period. And there were two at Ingatestone Hall, which currently now are on display and are open for people to view. But then they were hidden. One was behind some wooden panelling and the other one is behind a fireplace. Seeing Mr. Thurston kind of pull the panelling open and reveal a big space in there where you could hide, and similarly with the fireplace, was really quite exciting for a 5 or 6 year old as I was at the time. That, I think, amongst other things, probably gave me a very early bug for an interest in local history.
And it's amazing, just the fact that your dad knew the caretaker, that opened up something that sort of followed you through your life. But it was later on in your teens, I think, that you decided that you wanted to take things a little bit further.
Yes, I was very struck when I left school at 18 and went out to work with my colleagues talking all the time about going on holiday abroad. I haven't travelled very much, and even at that time I'd only been abroad for a day trip to France with my dad, and I remember lots of the girls in particular who'd have been in their early 20s talking about going on party holidays to Magaluf. Really stands out as my main memory of that, and I consciously thought, well, I haven't explored my own locality yet, let alone going wherever that is. I made an effort to begin exploring the Southend area, which is where I was living by then. 38 years later, I'm still here.
And your passion is still undimmed by the sound of it. You've written, what is it, something like 20 books over the years in between? Not only history books, but books about Essex or, as I was saying, inspired by the county.
Yes, I think one of the things that struck me early on was how negative some people were, and possibly still are, about Essex. You know, it's flat and boring is the thing I've heard.
I can tell you as an occasional runner, there is nothing flat about Essex.
I agree with that. I do a lot of cycling, and I can agree with that. Again, it was a conscious effort to kind of redress that negative impact and reveal to people the interest and the history and the, you know, the wealth of interesting places to visit. And I wrote for a period for Essex Countryside magazine, which many of your listeners will be familiar with. My first 8 books are all straight history. So local history, the first one was, as you say, Islands of Essex, and others especially in the southeast of the county, because that's where I've lived most of the time. So South End, Hadley, Rayleigh, and so on. But then having done all that study, I learnt a lot of stuff about the county, because what gets published really is the tip of the iceberg. So much else that you pick up on the way that you can't use. And it set me thinking about writing some fiction, some novels and novellas about the county. And so I used various legends like witchcraft and smuggling to inspire the writing of some novels. So the history is factual, and the geography is factual, but the story is fictional. And I think all my study of history helps anchor the fictional stories in the landscape, because I know it so well, really.
This is probably a difficult question, because I guess there must be so many, but with things thankfully beginning to open up now and people are able to get out and about, is there one particular favourite place in Essex that maybe isn't particularly well known, but you would say that is really worth people checking out perhaps?
It's very difficult. It's a very diverse county, and to me there's lots of interest here. I mean, Ingatestone is close to my heart. There's a path from the recreation ground there to the Ingatestone Hall, which I particularly like, and neighbouring Fryning, the history of the two places is interwoven. I like that as well. Dedham is a place I like, on the border with Suffolk. You've got the John Constable connection, the Clothier's Church there, which is a very fine church, the mill and the river and all those kind of things. A bit nearer to home and similar, I like Battlesbridge on the Crouch, which has got a group of historic buildings. It's an antique centre, many will know that, and just that kind of grouping of history and the river.
Oh, and you've got tea room at the top of here. That's up an enormous staircase.
Yes, at the top of the mill there, because that was an active, because it's on the river. It was an industrial kind of village with milling and imports and so on going on. But now it's a bit more sedate. But yeah, sitting up there viewing the river is very nice.
You certainly earn your afternoon tea once you get up the top there. And some lovely pubs in Battlesbridge as well, which are pretty old, I guess.
Yes, get the Hawk and the Barge. The Barge is sort of typical Essex weatherboard, that horizontal white boarding. They are indeed very old.
I knew there wouldn't be just one answer you could give to that. And a lot of your passions dovetail together with the writing and the love of Essex, because you love language and in particular English as well. And one of your recent books was on that theme.
Yes, I mean, looking back, I've from when I was about 40, I realised looking back that words are my thing. I'd just kind of, I think, probably taken it for granted. But kind of reviewing my life, I thought, yeah, words are my thing. I mean, I did English, French and Russian at A-level. And I remember my great aunt saying to me, she remembered me reading aloud to her from a book when I was five, which I don't remember, but it obviously struck a chord.
It's normally the other way around, isn't it?
Indeed, yes. So I had this idea for about 2004-ish for what I call single context words. That's words that can only ever be used in one context. And I started collecting these and I came up with over 300. And I thought that would make an interesting book, partly as a kind of novelty, quirky thing, but also as an educational book. So, for example, if I say the word gift horse.
Don't look one in the mouth.
Indeed. And hopefully all your listeners came up with the same phrase. And most of the words survive because they are in historic phrases of that nature. The use of the word has gone out of common usage other than in that phrase.
And your latest book, which I think has only just been published, is called An Essex Quiz Book. Keen to find out what inspired that and also maybe to hear one or two of the questions. Also, I'm going to spring this on you, Ian. I'm going to test your knowledge with some Essex-themed questions of my own. Before that, though, we'll just take a short break.
Phoenix FM.
Ian, having written about 20 books so far about Essex or inspired by the county, you must know more about Essex than virtually anyone, as I was saying earlier. So you're well placed to have put together your latest publication, An Essex Quiz Book. What was the idea behind the quiz book?
Well, I had the idea in the late 90s because by then I'd been doing probably about 15 years worth of research and travelling around the county a lot. And it struck me how diverse and interesting the county was. And I thought it would be a good way to, I guess, share a lot of the knowledge I'd learn and to introduce some of the places of interest and attractions and history of the county to a wider public. So I've had so many books on the go, it's taken until now to actually get it published. But the format of it is there are 50 rounds of 10 questions each, so 500 questions. 14 of the rounds are picture rounds. So, you know, here's a picture of a church, where is it, where's this statue, that kind of thing. There are some cryptic rounds and anagram rounds. And I've tried to cover as wide a spectrum as possible in subject matter. So churches, windmills, famous people, sports, that kind of thing. And in the answers, rather than just giving a black and white answer, where is this church, Thaxted, I've actually gone on to explain some background about the church and when it was built and who operated there and that kind of thing. Because I see it, apart from being a quiz book that you could perhaps use in a pub quiz or community centre or even on your own, I see it as an educational tool too. So you could go out to these places, especially if you don't know the county very well or you haven't been somewhere for a long time, and kind of learn a bit about it while you're there. So yeah, it's about making things more widely known to people.
And I think it's very timely. As I was saying, quizzes have certainly become a big thing over the past year or so with the lockdown. So, yeah, timing is absolutely great. Don't want you to give too many spoilers, but just give us a flavour of the book. Give us a couple of questions.
OK, yeah, I'll give you a couple of local questions to Brentwood. So who was burnt at the stake in Brentwood in 1555?
I think there's a memorial, isn't there, at Wilson's Corner? A little bit of a clue there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on a completely different topic, what are Brook Street, Fair Glen, Galley's Corner, Rayleigh Weir, and Rettenden Turnpike?
Oh, keep it clean. Give us that one just again.
Sure. So the question is, what are Brook Street, Fair Glen, Galley's Corner, Rayleigh Weir, and Rettenden Turnpike?
Okay, well, have a think about those, and we'll give the answers to those a little bit later on. But plenty more questions like those in the Essex quiz book. Ian, I said I was going to spring something on you. I know that game show hosts quite often say that they're quite happy asking the questions, but they'd never take part as contestants. As I was saying, I've been doing quite regular quizzes with some friends of mine over the past 15 months or so, and I set around on Essex myself. Nothing like your standard, I'm sure, but I'm going to throw just a couple of questions at you to see how you get on with these.
Okay.
A bit nervous. he said nervously. I don't think these are particularly easy, and they're not your part of the county. I know you're based down in southeast of the county. There, I've given you a clue already. Try this one. Now, although it's disputed, which Essex town claims to be England's smallest?
I think that would be Manningtree.
You got it in one. How do you know that?
I've been all around the county.
Population in the 2011 census was 911. Absolutely amazing. Wow. How it qualifies as a town, I don't know, but there's obviously some reason. Okay, give you a radio-related one. Which opera singer made a pioneering radio broadcast from Marconi's factory in Chelmsford over 100 years ago now, the 15th of June 1920?
I believe that is Dame Nellie Melba.
You're good. And her voice was heard as far away as Iran and Newfoundland.
Wow.
My goodness, that's absolutely amazing. This one, actually, you might know from your first book, which we mentioned earlier, about the islands of Essex. And this, I don't think there's actually a definitive answer to this, but interesting to get your take on it. The question is, how long is the Essex coastline according to Ordnance Survey?
Yeah, it is disputed. It depends how you measure it, I think. I mean, I've asked this in my book. I believe the answer, if you include all the creeks and things, is at least 400 miles. But if you don't and you just do the coastline straight, I think about 350 miles is my understanding.
What is for sure, though, is that it is very long. It's one of the longest of any county in the country, isn't it?
Yeah, a second only to Cornwall.
Well, anyway, we could carry on for ages like this, but time is beginning to get the better of us. Your quiz book is available on Amazon?
Yes, yes, I've gone to Amazon. I've got my own page on there, but if you just search my name, Ian Yearsley, and an Essex quiz book, it'll come up. It's got a blue cover on it.
And that's Yearsley, L-E-Y.
Yep, Y-E-A-R-S.
£9.99. Mine is on order. I'm very much looking forward to getting hold of that. And just quickly, Ian, you're already working on your next book.
Yes, I've been asked to write a book called Secret Southend, which is looking at places away from the sort of tourist hotspots that people might not know about. So, for example, there are some Second World War remnants dotted around the town. There are boundary markers. Every time the borough extended, they put down boundary markers, and there are still a lot of those dotted around, but you know, I've driven past them myself and you wouldn't know that they were there. So I've found 14 so far, and another two in documentary evidence. And also things like blue plaques, you know, famous people. There aren't many in Southend, but again, they tend to be hidden away down side streets because it was where people were born rather than somewhere to go to kind of celebrate them.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. Ian, your enthusiasm and your passion is absolutely infectious. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. You've got a website as well, where people can find out details of all of the books you've written so far.
I do, yes. That's www.ian-yearsley.com. Or if you just search my name and put Essex Books in, it should come up because there's a few on.
Yeah. Brilliant. Ian, thank you so much.
That's okay. Thank you for having me on the show.